each other, and we're going to have some more time for that. Yeah, we're going to just all look up here at me. We're going to start pulling the teacher clapping thing. This just proves to me that we need more time. We should do 2 hours of this. We can talk to the new superintendent about that. We are so excited you're here. We are always talking about how we can connect with you more, how we can do more for you, how we can resource you, how we can just be your friend, or how we can help you find that special friend that is in the same demographic that you're in, and which is a pastor's wife or a credentialed woman. And so we are so glad that you came to our second annual Ladies Connect. Doesn't it look beautiful? Not me. That would be mostly Renee. You can see her flair all over everything, and we're so glad that we can all work together. Today we're going to just do a couple of things because we have a great special honor with 2 different things that we want to do with you. And we know you want to talk. How many of you got your chocolate-covered popcorn? White, pink chocolate. You can eat that. It's not like a decoration that you wear. She's not done. This is the whole week. And then, Rhonda, I haven't told you because I didn't know who to tell you yet. But you're going to be on the spot in just a moment. Loretta has been a huge supporter of our women's ministries department. And she comes to retreat, and not only does she just come to our events, she supports me. And y'all don't know that because I get these special texts from her, and it's always a joy because it's not like it's every day. It's just occasionally you get something. And so she's been such a great support. And so Women's Ministries purchased a gift for her. And so we just want to tell her thank you for all the years of supporting us. So we purchased her a mini iPad. Listen, ladies, sometimes you need to ask them, do you want this?
Yes.
So she knew what she was getting because I said, do you want this?
Yes.
Because sometimes, how many of you bachelor wives have got something you don't want? And then what do you have to do? You have to display it.
Yes. Or wear it.
Because they may stop by your house. And they probably will to see if you're displaying it. Like this, and I asked, and she did.
Thank you.
She didn't get to choose the color, though. That's a surprise.
Thank you.
So then we wanted to ask Rhonda. Rhonda, if you'll come up. This is our new elect superintendent, elect superintendent's wife. Got a way to say that. And we're so excited about that. We already love her, don't we?
Yes.
We do. We already love her. And so we just ask if we could take just a few minutes for Loretta to pass the baton. And we don't have a real one, but she has a good one. She's going to pass to Rhonda.
She was prepared, Rhonda. I didn't get to prepare you.
Fair.
11 years ago, God did one of those humbling personal things for me. And when my husband was elected, it was as if he opened up the doors of my heart, and all of you walked right in. And so for 11 years, I have loved you. I've wanted to be with you. I've wanted to encourage you. So I did a few things like the monthly, cleverly named words of encouragement that I sent out to almost all of you. Lots of Bible studies I've done with you. Always I carry gifts. I was always looking for deals for you. So you got the, oh man, you got, I cleaned out Bath and Body Works several times with all the lotions. Oh, you got tote bags. In fact, Donna, where are you, Donna? You got my last tote bag. It had the water in it. It says Woman of God on it. I got such a deal on that until Renee told me that her says Woman of God. Seasons come and seasons go. And this is a time for this season of my anointing to love on you, to be placed on Rhonda. I tell you what, if you have not known Rhonda yet, get to know her quickly. You will fall in love with her. Adjectives. She's kind. She is extremely competent. She's a loving person. She's funny.
Wow.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And she will love you. I know she will. You're a lot younger than me, Rhonda, but can I say that I know already you're going to become a spiritual mom to some of these young ones sitting out here. So, with great humility, I tell you, this mantle of anointing for the women, our district is now on Rhonda. And you're going to love her to pieces, and she's going to love you. A couple of things. I have here the keys to the kingdom. Actually, it's the keys to the front door of the office. And I pray for you that I know you will experience what I have experienced when I walk into that office. I'm emotional. I'm sorry. You will walk in and sense the presence of God there because there are four women there that have loved me and supported me and helped me. Susan, Melanie, Sarah, and Linda. I don't know where you all are, but I love you and I thank you. I feel so secure in when I walk in that office, and the same thing's going to happen to you. So you have the keys to the kingdom of the office. All right. 1 year, I mean, I found the deal of deals. And I overdid it. So, do you remember the year I carried all these Bibles around for you? I got $5 Bibles on CBD. Of course, it might be because they're purple and they're so small you can't read them. But anyway. So here you go. I got a bag of Bibles.
Thank you so much. How fun is that? And Rhonda, we look forward to, including Renee, Jeffrey, you come in, it's a ton of fun in that place.
I can imagine.
There could be, there's an anointing, but there's a lot of fun. And productivity. There is so much productivity in that office, and you can learn what that means when you come. And chocolate, so we're so excited for you to be here. And so will you all just welcome Rhonda. Cameras at the office, and we installed those a couple of years ago, and then we found out they had sound on them. So I told Loretta, those things have sound. She said, oh no, you and I will be in trouble. And so I just walked around singing eons. Now at that time my office was in the back, so I could get away with more back there. Okay, so we have a special guest for you today. You heard from Donna Barrett last night. Ladies, I was ecstatic, and I'm not a women's liver. I am not a woman, hear me roar. Matter of fact, I am totally opposite of that. I love my husband, and I love that I have a husband. And I think men are necessary. You know, I think that we have to have them. My husband carried in a box of muffs this morning. See, that's right. accept the call of God on their life. And they walk in it. And so Donna has been doing that for years. And how long have you been in this office, Donna? 11 months ago, she was voted in, right? You were voted into that position, right? Voted in to the position of General Secretary of the Assemblies of God, and it's our first female. And I love having that voice. And so could you welcome her this morning?
Thanks. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, I was watching on Facebook, and what popped up yesterday was that a year ago, I posted that I resigned from my church today and have started the journey to move to the Springfield office. So a little bit about myself. I pastored as a youth pastor for 10 years in Youngstown, Ohio, and then as an associate pastor in Cleveland, Ohio for 7 years. That church helped to parent the church that I planted 15 years ago, and that's where I pastored until a year ago. I was minding my own business in Cleveland, Ohio, and I got this phone call from Doug Clay from Springfield, and he said, hey, I have an idea. And so that started the conversation of talking about me becoming the first female executive leader for the Assemblies of God. So I went to Springfield and interviewed with the Executive Presbytery, and they unanimously elected me to replace Jim Bradford in his unexpired term. So this year in August, I'll be up for re-election because that was an unfulfilled, unexpired term. And so it's a 4-year term, and I'll be up for election this August in Springfield. It's been a wonderful ride. I've enjoyed it so much, and everything that I was doing is different than what I'm doing now. So my world just went like from here to here. But I love it because it's the will of God. There is nothing more enjoyable than being called of God and being able to step in the will of God. And if you're a woman in ministry, possibly you have found that the road hasn't been quite as easy as it is for our male counterparts. But I want to tell you the 3 good things about that little bit of resistance that's there. The first thing is that when you have that little bit of resistance and it's just not smooth sailing all the time, it reminds you to go back and revisit the call of God. I remember the day when my pastor invited me to join the staff as youth pastor. And he said, you know, you're at a crossroads, and if you say yes to the call of God, everything is going to change for your life. And I had no idea what he meant, but he was absolutely right. And when I went to the Lord in prayer, I felt he framed it up this way. You have 2 options, Donna, obedience and disobedience, because I've called you. And when you step into that path of following his call, it's a beautiful thing to look at. And when you hit those opportunities for that call to be strengthened because people resist you, it just makes that call all the more strong. You can't say to yourself, well, maybe I'll just go do something else. Or maybe this was a vocational election that I'm dabbling in for a season. But if it's the call of God, it's the call of God, and there's no other choice but to pursue that. And so when you hit those moments of resistance, it helps you to reinforce that call. Secondly, when you hit that moment of resistance, it helps you to know your identity in Christ. When you're called of God, there are times that you can't run with the crowd. There are times you have to pull away and do something different. There are lonely moments, but it helps you to establish your identity as being a daughter of the Most High God, and you're established in who He is. And those moments of resistance help to reinforce your identity in Christ. And then thirdly, it helps you to identify the need to obey. There's such a joy in obeying the Lord. And when God calls you and you hit those moments of resistance, you just ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? And He'll tell you to obey. So I remember sitting at one of our district councils, and I had been... We had a day kind of like your day was yesterday, where our superintendent moved to a different position and it created a domino effect where there were vacancies all of a sudden. And so they had to put a nominating ballot together quickly. And all of a sudden, I found myself getting elected as an executive presbyter for one of our regions in that domino effect that took place. So I served in the Ohio District for 4 years in that role and then stood down for 2 years. And then at another district council, similar to what you're facing today, I'm sitting there and we had an issue that had a resolution. And
when I read the resolutions at home, sitting at a coffee shop reading through those resolutions and making notes, one of them came up that I thought, boy, I have opinions about this. And like they said about you, Loretta, I have an opinion about everything. I just have to decide when to not say it, right? You have to pick. So I was writing down my opinions about this resolution, and as I was sitting there and it was being debated, I thought, nobody is surfacing the opinion that I hold, and I think this body needs to consider that factor. And my heart began to pound. That's how it happens for me anyway, when the Lord is prompting me to get up and say something. And so I found myself at the microphone with fear and trepidation speaking in opposition to the resolution that was being discussed and describing why. Well, we voted and the resolution failed. And so then I was sitting behind the parliamentary committee and I said, can I go make a motion that we put a study committee together to investigate this situation so we can revisit it next year at the district council? Yes, you may. That would be an instant resolution. You could do it, get to the mic quickly because time is passing. So I made that resolution. That one passed. And we put a committee together to study inclusion in the future for racial and gender inclusion and creating seats on our presbytery. So I say all that to say that I had just been at the mic when we were voting to re-elect our general presbyter. And just to give you a little insight, if you're not familiar with the Assemblies of God, each of our 67 districts has three representatives that represent that district at the general presbytery. And it is the superintendent and a second, usually an officer, and then a third person who is also pastoring a church. So they can't be a district office. They need to be from the grassroots. So those three people represent the 67 districts at the General Presbytery that meets every summer, and even on the years when we don't have a General Council. So that General Presbyter's position was up for re-election, and it has to be a pastor. So my name was on the screen, and I'm watching it stay on the screen, and I thought, oh my goodness, what's happening? Should I get up and pull my name off that list before something terrible happens, like I get elected to this office I don't really want? And as I sat there praying, and I say this to say to you, it's obedience. Our lives are not our own. We don't get to pick and choose. As a shy girl growing up, I don't think I would have ever voluntarily chose to be holding a mic in front of crowds. It's not my personality type, but obedience is my personality type. I don't ever want to be out of alignment with God. And when he asks you to do something, then it's just a matter of obedience. It's not a matter of, do I have the gift for that, or do I want to do that, or do I not want to do that, or would I rather not do that? It's, what's God asking? And do I want to obey or not? So I was sitting there in the second row as my name was continuing, and it went several rounds. It didn't happen instantly. And I was talking to God fast, saying, Lord, can I please take my name down? I don't want to be the general presbyter for our district. And I felt him kissing me on the cheek and saying, if you will just calm down, I have the ability to keep you from being elected if I want that. And so I just sat there and I got elected. And you know, when you're at these events, I'll tell you a secret. People come up and they congratulate you and, oh, we're so glad, we're so glad. For them, it's a minute of a vote. For you, it's a lifetime of a commitment. And it changes everything. You're going to be driving for meetings and stepping into church situations and helping people. And it's a big commitment when you get elected to one of those. And, you know, Rhonda, that's your, you know, these people are going to drive home. They're going to drive home. They voted yesterday, but your life is changing forever, right? So that's the way it is. But what I want to share with you is that God will open doors of opportunity for you. And it's not about, is this going to be fun? Do I want to do this? Am I going to be scared if I do it? Do it scared. I do things scared all the time, especially now in this new role. But the issue is obedience. And my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And when God asks you to do it and he opens the door and the opportunity is there for you to step through it, do it in obedience to the Lord, and the joy will come with it. But that's the main thing that we're looking at. This era, ladies, it's not about women's rights. It's not about that we need to advance the cause of women. It's about the harvest is plentiful, the labors are few. We need all hands on deck. Yeah. And regardless of the age or the demographic or the marital status or the race that you're a part of, none of that matters. If you are a soul that can reach another soul for Jesus, we need you in the harvest field. And we need to be working side by side with our brothers, our male colleagues, working side by side. It's not one or the other. It's not one elevating and one dropping down. But it's us co-laboring together to bring in this last day's harvest, because Jesus wants to come back for his church. And he wants everyone to know him. And we get the privilege of being a part of that. And so that's what it's about. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38 says this in the New Living Translation. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." And you simply get to volunteer to be one of those workers in his field. And that's what it's about. So if the garbage needs taken out, or a Bible study needs taught, or whatever needs to happen, just be obedient to the Lord. And that's where we find joy. It's in that the benefit of the road of resistance is that it reinforces our call from God. It re-identifies who we are in Christ as a daughter of the Most High God. You are precious in his sight. He loves to be able to use you and to invite you into the good work that he's doing. And it helps us to understand the need we have to obey the Lord. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And I look forward to meeting some of you. I get to speak tonight at the ordination service. And what I'm doing now in Springfield as the General Secretary is our office stewards 38,000 credentials for Assembly of God ministers across the nation. Our office credentials certifies churches. We presently have 13,017 Assembly of God churches just here in the United States. And here's an interesting fact that I didn't realize until recently. Only 5% of the Assemblies of God is located inside the United States. 95% of who we are as a church is located around the world and in other places. And what a privilege it is to be a part of this beautiful organization called the Assemblies of God. I loved Brother Don's message yesterday of how he encouraged ministers. You know, we're not perfect, and we all get hurt in ministry regardless of what tribe you're in. But I think the Assemblies of God is one of the best tribes that you can be a part of in the body of Christ. I've chosen it. I work for it. I love it. I love the Assemblies of God. And our great days are yet ahead. Let me just share a couple things we're working on that I think you will care about. One of the things that Superintendent Doug Clay has put together is a committee on mental health care for ministers and their families. And in your memorial service this morning, there was a touch on that of a minister who had mental illness and committed suicide. And so we want to help the parsonage and the minister's family to be the healthiest in the church, because if the pastor and the minister's family is getting the mental health care that they need, it's going to trickle down into the church. And there won't be hiding, and there won't be shame. It will be helping one another and uncovering situations that need to be medicated or counseled through. And so Doug Clay put a committee together that I get the privilege to serve on. It's being chaired by Don Litchie, who is the chairman at Emerge Ministries. And we have representation from all around the country, from all different pockets of the mental health care. And so I'm looking forward to that. Another resolution that's coming in August. How many of you are coming to General Council in Orlando? Plan to be there? Oh, that's wonderful. It's going to be the best one ever. We're inviting all the missionaries home from around the world, and there's going to be a missionary commissioning service on that Sunday night. If you've never been to a missionary commissioning service, oh, they're wonderful. I went to one in Springfield. I just cried my eyes out as all these people are going to the nations, these young people and single people and brave young women. Do you know that in world missions, I think, I'm not sure of the statistic because this is not out of my office, but I think they said 60% of the missionary associates are female that are going to the hard places in the nation where their lives are being threatened. And you have a missionary here today that's one of those people in a difficult place in the world. And so That general counsel is going to be wonderful in that way. One of the resolutions that the general counsel will be entertaining is approving divorce for the reason of domestic violence. So if you're not familiar, a little over a decade ago, our movement began to approve people to get credentials, even if they had a divorce in their past, if the cause of the divorce was one of the biblical reasons that they identified and put guidelines in place. Infidelity, pre-conversion, divorce, annulment, and abandonment by the unbeliever, abandoning a believer. It's a little bit complicated. So if you have an unbelieving spouse and they abandon you, that's a biblical reason for divorce. So we have those provisions already in the bylaws. The one we were missing was, if you've experienced divorce because of domestic violence, we didn't have a provision for that. And now we're advancing that provision forward. So even if your pastor tells you, take the children and leave, it's a dangerous situation, and you have to divorce in that situation, you can still keep your credentials, or you can apply for credentials, or you can eventually marry someone who has credentials. And that provision is going to be discussed on the general counsel floor. So a little background to... So I wanted just to share a little background of some of the neat things that are coming out of our national office. I've known Doug Clay since I was 27. He was my DCAP when I was a youth pastor, and then he was our superintendent in our district. And I did church multiplication directing for the district under his era. And so I've known him for a long time. He's an excellent leader. And I can tell you there are great days ahead for the Assemblies of God. And it's a great day to be a woman in ministry today. The Assemblies of God does the best job I know of any tribe in the body of Christ at opening doors for women. There's actually a provision in our bylaws that says women can hold any position in the body of Christ for which they qualify. And so I'm an example of that. And I give Doug Clay a lot of credit for taking the very brave move of appointing or inviting the opportunity for me to get elected to this position as the first female executive leader. And I think it's going to do a lot for women across the area. Let me share with you just briefly as I wrap up a couple hints that I think could be helpful to you. Number one, I would encourage you to qualify yourself beyond the level where you presently serve. I've heard so many women say, well, I don't need a credential because I don't need it to do what I'm doing presently. Or I'm certified and that's all I need in order to do what I'm presently doing. I could tell you story after story, if I had time, of people who advanced to the next level of qualifying themselves and then God opened a door. It happened for me. I was one of those people. I said, I have the license to preach. I love being an associate pastor. I don't ever plan to be a senior pastor. I don't need any more credential than I have. As soon as I got credentialed at the ordained level, my senior pastor resigned. I was the interim pastor at that church. And then I became a church planter, and you have to be ordained for that. I wouldn't have had time to stop and get ordained because God was opening doors and pushing me through very quickly. And so I would say to you, whatever level of credential you presently have, unless God's telling you not to, advance to the next level. We could always benefit from getting more courses and from having more relationship with people. The ordination process is being revised so that it matches a little more with what the purpose of ordination is, and that is to affirm ministry and to anoint for a future ministry. And so I would encourage you, qualify yourself beyond the level that you're at right now, and give God the option of opening new doors for you and giving opportunities for you to maybe serve on a committee for your district or be appointed to help out in some way. I have a friend, Krista, who got appointed by our district to serve on a committee. And when the superintendent realized, oh, you're not ordained? Oh, I'm sorry, I have to uninvite you to this committee. And so Krista went back and got ordained, and then she got elected as one of our presbyters in our district. And so don't ever limit the Lord by being less than qualified for what he might want to open up for you next. You have a great district here in the Rocky Mountain, and Brother Randy and his office does a great job at helping people move through credential. So I would encourage you to qualify yourself beyond the level that you're at right now, and that will help you in tremendous ways. And then secondly, I would just encourage you to use your voice for the glory of God. That means speak up when you get the opportunity, shut up when God wants you to. Just because I want to talk doesn't mean God wants me to talk. And so I have to stop and say, is this me or you? And he always wins. He needs to win. He gets to decide. Do you want to say just because you could, or is this a time to not talk? But when you need to talk, even when your heart's pounding, even when you're scared, have the courage to speak up when you need to speak up. I remember when we planted our church, and one of my core group members said, we need to go meet the mayor of our city. I'm like, I don't want to meet the mayor. That sounds scary. She says, no, we're going to plant this church in town. My husband and I will go with you. We know the mayor, and we want him to be introduced by you before he reads about this church plant in his newspaper and doesn't know who you are or what we're doing. Let's go in the front door and be proper. And so, you know, I was scared the whole way up. And in that moment, as my heart was pounding and we're walking up to the courthouse, the Lord said to me, you're going to do a lot of things scared, and I will always be with you. So just go ahead and do it scared. And so that's kind of my motto in the back of my mind, to do it scared. Because so many things I do, and people I meet, and situations I get thrown into, they're scary. But God will always help you, and he'll be with you. And if we only do the things we're not scared to do, we're not growing as people. We're not giving God the opportunity for him to be glorified. If I have the confidence that I can do it in myself, then I don't need God. But when I do it scared, I must hang on to the hand of the Lord, and I must have him help me. And so, ladies, do it scared. Whatever he asks you to do, don't hold back. Just press on through. Well, I think my time is up, so I'm just going to stop right there. God bless you. Thanks for letting me be in Rocky Mountain District.
Privilege to just get to meet Donna and hear her, and I love that. That's going to be our whole motto for the year, do it scared. And also, you know, I just want to say thank you from all of us for choosing obedience. When our two choices are obedience or disobedience, thank you for that. That was awesome. So we just have a few more minutes, but I just want you to know, your network loves you so much. The people in the office, we pray for you. We truly just say, okay, what can we do to just bless you and help you? And one thing that we hear often is so many of you are lonely and isolated, and you need safe friends, you need safe people around you just to be able to talk to and be with. And so that's one reason why last year we started our Ladies Connect at Council, because we really felt like it's so busy when we get here with the meetings and the classes. We really just wanted you to have some time to get to know other people and to get to know new friends. And so one thing we thought would be really fun, did everyone get their picture taken? Or did anybody, were you not able to? Okay, if you want to run back there, they'll take your picture really quick if you haven't done that yet. Because when I dismiss here in just a second, Minnie. So, what we want to do, we got those cute little mini Polaroids, and they're just the perfect size to fit in your wallet, or your credit card is, or wherever. We would love for you to grab a Polaroid on your way out. The names of the person in the picture is on the bottom, and we would love for you to just pray for that person all year. Just a reminder when you open your wallet to just see their picture. We did this for our Youth Leaders Recharge, and I got Angel Bickley's picture, and I still pray for her, and it's been over a year. I have her little picture right there. Can I just say, we need each other. We need each other's prayer. We need to remember each other. So just grab a picture. We didn't do phone numbers. We don't want to be intrusive on anyone that doesn't want to be contacted, but if you know them, or if you want to find them and see if you want to exchange numbers, you're welcome to, just so you can send encouragement. But man, the most encouraging thing that you can do for somebody is pray for them. So if you could just take that little Polaroid, pray for them all year long, and maybe next year you can let them know, hey, I have prayed for you all year. This is your picture. And exchange that. So a couple more things, and then we're going to close in prayer. There are more ingredients for your... Didn't you like the Italian sodas? So just a little hint, there's only limited lemonade and water at the missions banquet, which is next. So if you want to fill your cup up, and you can take your cute little straw, and all the guys are going to go, I want one of those. Sorry, you have to be a ladies' connect to get one of those. Popcorn, I did refill the pretzels too, so you guys can take another pretzel, enjoy some little popcorn, and we are just going to pray for each other. If you want to visit around your table a few minutes, you can, but I just want to close in prayer. I want to thank Sarah and Susan and Mel and Linda. We love our team at the network office, and we really had fun putting this together for you. And one more tiny thing I don't want to forget. If you would like to buy the box with the flowers on the table, we're just going to sell them at cost. They're $10. And you can just take one and give us $10. And if you don't want one, we'll use them for another event. But, you know, storage runs out at the network office. So anyway, if you want one, let us know. So why don't you grab your sister's hand next to you. And let's just pray for each other. Heavenly Father, I just love you, and I thank you so much that every lady in this room has chosen obedience. They're in ministry because you called them to ministry. Father, I just pray that through the difficult times, through the challenges in their life, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be so present and that you would give them the confidence to not be afraid to do it scared. Lord, to not be afraid to just do what you called them to do. God, I know that you are a mighty and powerful God, that you can enable us to just be able to walk in that obedience even when it's difficult and hard. And Father, I just pray that we would be able to be sisters here, be able to share needs and pray for each other. And God, I just pray even as they pick a picture off of the line over there, God, that you would help us to truly take that to heart and pray for each other all year long. Father, I just pray that you would bless our year and bless each lady, and I pray that you would just cover us, Lord, with your presence, with your blood, God, that we would be protected from things around us, Lord, and that you would just truly help us to walk in obedience every day. In your name, amen. Thank you, ladies, for coming. Just, you can visit, you can be late to the luncheon. I don't think you'll hear too much.